It's an Agatha Christie classic that's set in the wintry depths of the English countryside. A story that's bound to send a chill up your spine.
The Sittaford Mystery by Agatha Christie. Dramatised in five parts by Michael Bakewell, with Geoffrey Whitehead as Inspector Narracott. Part 1. The Message. The time is 1931. The place, Dartmoor.
Major Burnaby. Good afternoon, sir. I'm just trying to clear a path to the gate.
You're labouring in vain, I'm afraid. Look at the sky. There'll be another fall of snow before long.
You're surely not going down to Exhampton in this weather. You'll never get through. I reckon we're pretty near cut off already.
No, I fancy Trevelyan will hardly expect me today. I've been invited to Sittaford House.
Oh, they'll be getting their first real taste of English weather there. I never could understand why they should come all the way from South Africa to freeze to death in the middle of Dartmoor.
That's just what Trevelyan said himself, Mrs. Curtis. But they were prepared to pay good money to rent the house from him. He's as happy as a sandboy sitting out the winter in that snug little place in Exhampton.
Still, it's good they're asking people round there at last. Mrs. Willett isn't exactly forthcoming. And as for that daughter of hers, she looks downright terrified if you as much as say good morning.
Not yet. Used to our English ways, I expect, Mrs. Curtis.
Well, I mustn't keep you shivering in the cold, Major. I hope they've lit all the fires in Sittaford House. It's a pretty draughty place at the best of times.
Splendid of you to turn out in this weather, Major.
Oh, not at all, Mrs. Willett, not at all. It's very good of you to ask me.
You know my daughter Violet, I think.
Good afternoon, Major.
Mr. Garfield is coming, and Mr. Duke, and Mr. Ryecroft said he'd come. Though one can hardly expect him at his age, and in such weather. Really, it's too dreadful. One feels one must do something to keep oneself cheerful. Violet, put another log on the fire.
Oh, allow me, Miss Violet. Well, you've quite transformed the place, Mrs. Willett. I'd scarcely know it as the same room.
I've hardly changed a thing, I assure you, Major. Just added a few little pieces here and there. The feminine touch, that sort of thing.
Well, Joe's tastes are a bit austere, I suppose. He likes to keep everything shipshape, like a captain's cabin.
We were so afraid you wouldn't be able to come. You said there might be difficulty.
That was because it's a Friday.
Friday?
Every Friday I go to Trevelyan's. Tuesday he comes to me. We've done it for years.
Of course. Living so close to each other.
A kind of habit.
But do you still keep it up? I mean, now that the captain's living down in Exhampton.
Pity to break a habit. We both of us miss those evenings.
You go in for competitions in the papers, don't you? Acrostics and crosswords and all those things.
I do crosswords. Trevelyan does acrostics. We each stick to our own line of country. I won 3 books last month in a crossword competition.
Oh, really? How nice. Were they interesting books?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't read them. Look pretty deadly.
Well, it's the winning that matters, isn't it?
How'd you get to Exhampton, Major? You haven't got a car.
Walk.
What? Must be 6 miles or more.
Well, good exercise. What's 12 miles? Keeps a man fit.
Of course. You and Captain Trevelyan were great athletes, weren't you?
Used to go to Switzerland together. Winter sports in winter. Climbing in summer. Both too old for that sort of thing nowadays. Looks as though we're due for more snow soon. A pretty heavy fall, too, I should say.
Oh, how thrilling. I do think snow is so romantic. I've never seen it before.
It isn't romantic when the pipes freeze, you silly child.
Have you lived all your life in South Africa?
Yes. Yeah. This is the first time I've ever been away. It's almost frightfully thrilling.
I wouldn't describe winter in a remote Dartmoor village as exactly thrilling, Miss Willis.
There didn't seem to be anyone about, so we found our own way in.
Oh, how lovely to see you, Mr. Garfield.
I insisted on dragging Mr. Ryecroft along with me, Mrs. Willett. I promised I wouldn't let him be buried in a snowdrift.
Yes, good afternoon, Mrs. Willett, Miss Violet.
I say, this all looks absolutely marvellous. I love an open fire.
Yes. Is Trevelyan coming, Mrs. Willett?
No chance, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Even if the weather weren't so frightful, I don't think he'd come. Time and again I've told him to treat the place as if we hadn't rented it, but it's no use.
Well, the captain has the reputation of being something of a woman-hater. The report has it that he was jilted in his youth.
God, I say. Can't we get up some skating somewhere, Miss Willett? There are some ponds not far away.
I think path digging will be your only sport.
Oh, I've been at it all morning. Don't laugh at me. I've got blisters all over my hands.
How's your aunt?
Oh, she's always the same. Sometimes she says she's better, and sometimes she says she's worse. But I think it's all the same, really. Each year I wonder how I can stick it. But there it is. If one doesn't rally round the old bird, she's quite capable of leaving her money to a cat's home.
That'll be Mr. Duke.
Oh, you've invited Mr. Duke, have you?
Have you got anything against it?
Of course not. It's just that, well, nobody seems to know anything about him. The mystery man, my aunt calls him. She keeps on hinting that he might be a retired tradesman.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sure he's nothing of the kind.
Mrs. Willett, how kind of you to ask me.
How good of you to turn up, Mr. Duke.
It's a pleasure, Mrs. Willett. At least, it's a pleasure now I'm here.
Now that we're all here, perhaps you'd ask Dora to serve tea, Violet. Well, what about a game of bridge? Just a thing for a winter evening.
There are six of us.
Two can cut in.
You four start. Miss Willis and I will cut in.
I'm sorry to put a damper on things, but I don't play bridge, I'm afraid.
Well, we could play a round game.
Or table turning. The wind's sounding pretty spooky. Do you remember we mentioned it the other day? Mr. Ryecroft and I were talking about it on the way over here.
I am a member of the Psychical Research Society, and I was able to put our young friend right on one or two points.
I think it's all tommyrot.
Oh, but it's good fun, don't you think, Major? I mean, you don't have to believe in it or anything. It's just an amusement. What do you say, Mr. Duke?
Anything you like, Miss Willett. I've never tried it before. How exactly do we go about it?
Oh, it's quite simple, really. We sit round the table with our hands, palms down, our thumbs and little fingers touching. And when the spirits come, the table will begin to move and spell out messages for us.
But do the spirits know about all this?
Oh, yes. They have special courses at night school.
Don't be facetious, Ronnie. Nothing will happen unless we're serious.
We must find a suitable table.
Yes.
No, not that one, Mother. I'm sure it's much too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, could you bring that little table in the corner, Mr. Garfield?
Oh, right you are.
That's wonderful. Yes. Everybody find themselves a chair.
Yes.
Now, if you sit next to Mr. Ryecroft, Mr. Duke,
and
you sit between me and Violet, Major.
Oh, in my young days, it was up Jenkins.
And Ronnie can sit next to Violet. Oh, could you turn the lights out first?
Oh, of course, Mrs. Willett. Here we go.
Spirits are a long time.
They've got a long way to come.
Nothing will happen unless we are serious.
Nothing is happening.
Well, of course not. It never does at first.
If only you'd be quiet, please.
The table's dead as mutton.
Shh.
Oh, it's starting to rock.
Ask it questions.
Who shall ask?
You, Ronnie.
Oh, hello. Is a spirit present?
That means yes.
Oh, who are you?
Ask it to spell its name.
Oh, I can't keep track. Was that I or J?
Ask it.
I say, was that I? Right. Next letter, please. D. Next letter, please. Ida. Have you a message for anyone here, Ida? Oh. Who was it for? Miss Willett?
That means no.
Mrs. Willett. Mr. Duke.
Me?
It's for you, Ronnie. Make it spell it out.
D. I. A.
N, I think.
Diana.
Do you know anyone called Diana?
No, I don't. At least...
There you are, he does.
What shall I ask her?
Ask her if she's a widow.
Are you a widow, Diana?
Oh, nothing. Has she gone away? Oh, she has.
Will another spirit come, please? Are you a new spirit? Have you a message for someone? For me again? You're shoving, Violet.
Oh, no, look, I'll take my hands off the table.
All right, I believe you. Is the message for Violet? Is it for Mr. Rycroft? Is it for Major Burnaby? Oh, it's for you, Major. Will you spell it out, please?
T.
R.
E.
V.
Trev. Are you sure it was a V?
Trevelyan. Of course it's Trevelyan. Ah. Captain Trevelyan.
Is it a message about Captain Trevelyan?
Oh.
What about Captain Trevelyan? D.
E.
A.
D. Dead.
Oh.
What do you mean?
You don't mean Trevelyan is dead. Oh, what do we do now? M.
U. R. D. E. R. Murder.
Oh, I won't go on with this. It's horrible. I don't like it.
Do you mean that Captain Trevelyan has been murdered?
Oh.
Yes.
Look here. I call this a rotten joke.
Turn on the lights.
I'll do it.
Nobody ought to play tricks like that. It's wrong.
Not about people dying.
I wasn't shoving. I swear I wasn't.
I can say the same. And you, Mr. Rycroft?
Certainly not.
It's in rather bad taste, if you ask me. It's disgusting.
Violet.
I didn't, Mother. I couldn't do such a thing.
What time is it?
It's 5:25.
I think we'd better have cocktails. Will you ring the bell, Mr. Duke?
Of course, Mrs. Willett.
And will you mix them, please, Mr. Garfield?
It's about the one thing in the world Aunt Caroline can't criticise me for. There we are. Mrs. Willett.
Thank you, Mr. Garfield.
Violet.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Help yourselves, gentlemen.
Yes.
Here's Al.
Thank you. Mel, your very good help.
Cheers.
I think we all needed that.
Major Burnaby, won't you have your cocktail?
No, thank you, Mrs. Willett. Not for me. I must be going.
Oh, surely not.
Many thanks for a pleasant time.
Oh, but it's so early still. Do stay a little while, Major.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Willett, but well, it's got to be done. Is there only a telephone? I always told Joey ought to install one here.
A telephone? What do you mean?
Well, you see, tell you the truth, I'd like to see that Joe Trevelyan's all right. It's a silly superstition and all that, but there it is. Of course, I don't believe in any of this tommy rot, but all
but
the
there must be somewhere you can phone from.
There isn't a telephone in Sittaford, and nothing between here and Exhampton. I'll have to go.
But you'll never get a car down that road. The snow's far too thick.
Oh, a car's out of the question. Two legs will take me there, Mrs. Willett.
Oh, Major Burnaby, it's impossible. It's going to snow again. You said so.
Not for an hour. Perhaps longer. I'll just drop into my place for a flask and then push straight on. Trevelyan will put me up for the night. It's a ridiculous fuss, I know. Everything's sure to be all right.
Well, I'll see you out.
No, don't bother yourself about that, Mrs. Willett.
Come.
Snow or no snow, I'll get there in a couple of hours. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good luck, Major.
It is going to snow, and it'll begin long before he gets to Exhampton. Well, I hope he gets there all right.
I know. I feel I ought to have gone with him. One of us ought to have gone with him.
Very foolish of him to go off like that. He'll probably plunge into a snowdrift, or if he doesn't, he'll die of cold and exposure. And at his age, too.
There was no stopping him. His mind was made up.
I'm sure that Captain Trevelyan is perfectly all right.
I'm sure he is.
Violet, I will never have that silly game played here again.
No, Mother. But supposing something has happened to Captain Trevelyan...
Exhampton Police? Oh, no, madam. I'm afraid there's no hope of a snowplow getting out to you tonight. All the roads onto the moor are impassable, and there's nothing anyone can do before morning. Well, I'm sorry, but there's nothing more we can do. Good night.
Major Burnaby! I never expected to see you out on a night like this.
Look here, this may be a false alarm, but I've been knocking and ringing at the captain's house and I can't get any answer.
Oh, of course. It's Friday, and you always see each other on Friday night.
Yeah.
But you don't mean to say you've actually come down from Sitterford on a night like this. Surely the captain would never expect you.
Well, whether he's expecting me or not, I'm here. And I tell you, I can't get anybody to answer the door.
Oh. That's odd.
Of course it's odd.
It's not as though he's likely to be out. Not on a night like this.
Well, of course he's not likely to be out.
It is odd.
Oh, aren't you going to do something?
Do something?
Yes, do something.
Oh, well, think he might have been taken bad. I'll try the telephone. Do you know the number, Major?
254, 254.
Been taken bad. And all alone in the house, too. We'd best get hold of Dr. Warren and take him along with us.
Damnable night. Hope you haven't brought me out on a wild goose chase. Trevelyan's as strong as a horse, never has anything wrong with him.
We'll soon know, Doctor. Not a sausage. Captain Trevelyan! Better give up before we rouse the whole street.
Do you think we ought to break the lock?
We'd do better to try round the back. If we do have to break in, it'll be easier to force the French windows. The French windows are open.
Right mind would open a window on a night like this.
At least it makes our task easier.
We'd better go in.
Papers all over the place. Someone's been at the desk. But where's...
Over here, by the door.
Oh, my God.
Don't touch him. Let me...
The lock's been forced.
Is he dead?
I'm afraid so, Major. It's for you to say what's to be done, Sergeant. I can do nothing except examine the body, but perhaps you'd rather I didn't do that until your superiors arrive. I can tell you the cause of death now. Fracture at the base of the skull. And I think I can make a guess at the weapon. This green baize tube.
Joe always had them along the bottoms of the doors to keep the drafts out. Such harmless things.
Not a very efficient form of sandbag.
So, let's get this quite clear, Doctor. Are you saying this is murder?
That's right, Pollock.
Then I'd better telephone Exeter.
Phone's through there. Have you any idea how long he's been dead?
About 2 hours, I should say. Or possibly more.
Would you say that he might have been killed at
5:25?
Oh, difficult to say with certainty, but if I had to give a definite time, that's about what I would suggest.
Oh, my God.
What is it, Major? What's the matter?
5:20. It was true, after all.
Hello? Could you put me through to Inspector Narracott?
So, what do you make of it, Sergeant?
Well, as I see it, sir, I should say that the murderer forced the lock of this window here and started rifling the room. Captain Trevelyan, I suppose, must have been upstairs. Doubtless the murderer thought the house was empty.
Now, just a minute, Sergeant. Where's Trevelyan's bedroom?
Directly over this room, sir.
By 4 o'clock, it would have been nearly dark. If Trevelyan was up in his bedroom, the light would have been on and the burglar would have seen it. Nobody in his senses would break into a lighted house.
Seems a bit odd, I admit. But there it is.
We'll let it pass for the moment. Go on.
Suppose the captain hears a noise downstairs. He comes down to investigate. The burglar hears him coming. He snatches up this bolster arrangement and gets behind this door. And as the captain enters the room, strikes him down from behind.
Yes, that's true enough. He was struck down when he was facing the window. But all the same, Pollock, I don't like it.
No, sir?
No. As I say, I don't believe in houses that are broken into at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, with the weather and all, he may have thought it a good opportunity.
It's not a question of opportunity. It was a deliberate housebreaking. Look at the confusion everywhere. What would a burglar go for first? A pantry where the silver's kept.
That's true enough.
And all this mess. His drawers pulled out, papers all over the room. It's bunkum.
I don't understand you, sir.
Take a good look at this window, Sergeant. It wasn't forced open. It was splintered from the outside to give the appearance of having been forced.
You mean it wasn't a burglary at all, sir? It was an inside job.
Something of the sort. The only curious thing is, though, that I think the murderer did actually enter by the window. As you reported, and as I can still see for myself, there are damp patches still visible on the carpet where the snow melted and was trodden in by the murderer's boot.
And I only found damp patches in this room. I'm quite positive there were none in the hall.
So it's clear that the murderer was admitted by the captain through the window. Therefore, it must have been someone who he knew.
Yes, sir.
You're a local man, Sergeant. Can you tell me if Captain Trevelyan was a man who made enemies easily?
No, sir. I should say he hadn't an enemy in the world. A bit keen on money and a bit of a martinet. Wouldn't stand for any slackness or incivility, but bless my soul, he was respected for that.
So, if he didn't have any obvious enemies, we may as well consider the next logical motive. The most common motive for any crime. Gain. Captain Trevelyan was, I understand, a rich man?
Very well off, indeed, by all accounts. But close. Not an easy man to touch for a subscription.
Sounds like the voice of experience.
Too true, sir. Pity it snowed as it did. But for that, we'd have had his footprints as something to go on.
The murderer may well have counted on that. There was no one else in the house?
No, sir. For the past 5 years, Trevelyan has had only one servant. Did all the cooking, everything. About a month ago, he got married, much to the captain's annoyance. I believe that's one of the reasons he let Sittaford House to the South African lady. He wouldn't have any woman living in the house with him. So, Evans lives just round the corner in 4th Street with his wife, and he comes in daily to do for the captain. His statement is that he left here at about 2:30 yesterday afternoon, the captain having no further need for him.
I shall need to see him. He may be able to tell us something useful.
You think he might...
I think there's a lot more in this case than meets the eye. What sort of a fellow is he?
He's a retired naval chap. Ugly customer in a scrap, I should say.
Does he drink?
Never been the worse for it that I know of.
What about this wife of his? Not a fancy of the captain's or anything of that sort?
Oh, no, sir. Nothing of that kind about Captain Trevelyan. He was known as a woman-hater, if anything.
And Evans was supposed to be devoted to his master?
That's the general idea, sir. And I think it would be known if he wasn't. Exhampton's a small place.
I've just realized something rather odd.
There isn't much about this case that's not odd.
Why did the murderer come in through the window? Assuming it was someone Trevelyan knew, why not go to the front door? To get round to his window from the road wasn't an easy business through all that snow. Even Burnaby didn't think to try it at first, but the murderer must have had a reason. Well, perhaps it will come to light in due course. Where do you say this happens, Chambers?
4th Street, sir.
It fair knocked me over, I don't mind admitting.
Who on earth would want to do a thing like that?
Can you tell me what you were doing from 4 o'clock onwards?
From 4 o'clock, Inspector, I was at home.
Is there anyone who could support your statement?
I beg pardon, sir?
Anyone who knows you were at home during that time?
My wife, sir.
And you were alone in the house together?
Yes, sir.
When did you last see your master?
2 o'clock, sir. The captain told me I didn't need to come back after I cleared away the lunch things.
Is that usual?
No, sir. As a general rule, I come back for a couple of hours around 7 o'clock. But the captain told me not to bother, on account of the weather.
Tell me exactly what he said, as closely as you can remember.
Well, he looked out of the window and he says, "Not a hope of Burnaby today. Shouldn't wonder if Sitterford's cut off altogether. Don't remember such a winter since I was a boy." And then he told me I could go home for the rest of the day.
Apart from his reference to Major Burnaby, he didn't speak of expecting anyone that afternoon?
No, sir. Not a word.
Nothing unusual or different in any way in his manner?
Not that I could see, sir.
I understand that you've lately got married.
Yes, sir. Rebecca's the daughter of Mrs. Belling, the landlady of the Three Crowns.
And Sergeant Pollock tells me that the captain was not overpleased about it.
He cut up rough about it, he did. Rebecca's a very good cook, and I hope we might be able to do for the captain together. But he wouldn't hear of it. Things was rather at a deadlock, and then this South African lady came along and wanted to take the house. That rather let us off the hook.
But what were you planning to do when Mrs. Willett's tenancy came to an end?
I don't really know, sir. We was hoping the captain might come round to the idea and that Rebecca and me would go back to Sitterford with him. Why, he'd never even know she was in the house. He'd keep to the kitchen. He would manage so that he'd never even meet her on the stairs.
Have you any idea what lay behind Captain Trevelyan's dislike of women?
There wasn't anything behind it, sir. If you ask me, it was just shyness. I've seen people like that before. Some young lady or other gives them a snub when they're young, and after that, well, they just wants to hide whenever a woman comes along.
So he'd never been married?
No, sir, not him.
And do you know whether he had any relatives?
I believe he had a sister living in Exeter, sir. Mrs. Gardner, I think her name was.
Do you know her address?
I'm afraid I don't, sir. I believe they quarrelled some time ago. They never saw each other.
Anyone else?
I did hear him mention her nephew once, living in London, I think. But he never came down. They weren't close.
Emily, is that you? Emily, it's Jim. Emily, I think I might have got myself into a bit of a scrape.
In the first part of The Sitterford Mystery by Agatha Christie, Geoffrey Whitehead played Inspector Narracott. Mrs. Curtis was played by Barbara Atkinson, and Major Burnaby by Norman Bird. Mrs. Willett, Susan Westerby. Violet Willett, Victoria Carling. Mr. Ryecroft, John Moffat. Mr. Duke, Michael Graham Cox. Ronnie Garfield, Nigel Greaves. Sergeant Pollock, Vincent Brimble. Dr. Warren, Michael Kilgareth. Evans, Donald G. Jim Pearson, Stephen Garlick. The Sitterford Mystery was dramatized and directed by Michael Bakewell.